Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is November 21st, 2013. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm speaking to you from Palm Springs, California. I've been conspiring with Going Organics magazine. I write a quarterly column on financial issues of going organic, and that's going organic broadly, the lifestyle choices of going organic. And we've been posting them up on the blog, and we'll continue to do so. So those are shared with the Solari Report. I went over to do Coast to Coast last night for several hours in the studio in Los Angeles and came back in the rain. And I must say, we love the desert air, but we were thrilled to finally get some rain. I'm headed out Friday. I'll be having dinner with our very own Dr. Joseph Farrell on Friday night, and then on to Texas and then Tennessee by Thanksgiving. And I'm looking forward to sort of crossing the country and seeing what I see. It's always one of the richest times in terms of information and input about what's really going on in the economy. Our theme tonight is the name of the commentary I put up on the blog this week, He Who Archives Write History. This week is the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, a very important event, one threaded throughout many of our lives, certainly my life. If you look at my family and what touched them and myself, the financial and intelligent networks that were part of the assassination and cover-up were a defining power in our lives since the Kennedy assassination. And because of that, I have a sense for how the success of the assassination and subsequent cover-up emboldened the group involved. It was one of the pivotal acts that led to the breakaway civilization blossoming, but in particular, their ability to effect enormous financial fraud on a massive scale. So I've made a very big deal this week about the assassination and aspects of it. Literally what you see, and we'll hear more from Peter Janney in the interview we did this week, which is posted on the blog, you had two competing models, one that depended very much on covert intervention and force. The other believed in peace of man, for all mankind, and literally a much more outward expression of many things, including the space race or the space program. And clearly the more innovative and peaceful model lost when Kennedy was killed. The theme of the commentary is He Who Archives Writes History. And that's because so much of history is written by both the people who control the documentation, but also manage to destroy other documentation or prune it. And that includes killing lots of people who are witness and bring testimony. There was a European reporter who sent an interview to me recently about the Kennedy assassination. The historian he interviewed counted over 1,000 people who had died mysteriously in the process of bringing to light the facts of Kennedy's death. And I would say I have no idea if that number is correct, but based on my experience, it absolutely could have. What was astonishing is how many people tried to bring forth different facts and aspects of the assassination. And much of what we know about those years and what really happened is thanks to enormous courage and sacrifice on their part. And so I wanted to honor them with a blog commentary this week because we continue to see thousands and thousands of people around the globe take tremendous risk to bring transparency to issues that really make an enormous difference to our lives, and that transparency can shift many, many things. So He Who Archives Writes History, and that's why it's so important that we each remember to archive and contribute to those who do. Money and markets. I am continually reminded as I travel the country, going from California back to Tennessee, of the danger and importance of the drought. I talk a lot about weather wars, but Clearly, we are experiencing throughout the Southwest a very significant drought. There was rain last night, the first rain I saw in about 5 or 6 weeks. It was very, very welcome. All the palm trees have perked up. But if you look at what's happening with drought and the impact on agricultural commodities and on the health of the planet, it's continuing to be a very important phenomena to keep an eye on and having a very dramatic and quiet impact on the economy. Good news, the Fukushima decommissioning so far is going well. I've put several articles up on the blog about that. New report from ShadowStat showing inflation continues to march ahead, way beyond the official statistics. The economy continues to be experiencing slow growth. Existing home sales declined. Retail sales gain was not significant. Clearly, there is no recovery, and the economy continues to struggle. The Vatican got an auditor. I couldn't believe it. That story is up on the blog. Ernst & Young is now providing auditing services to the Vatican, if you can believe that, the world's most private secretive organization. And speaking of private secretive organizations, we're watching the Fed back doing its dance of to taper or not to taper, and trying to intimate that taper is likely to come soon in the coming months. Yellen, not surprising, wins backing of the Senate panel, so the transition of leadership continues to go. We have a new story on waste from the Pentagon. I always get so frustrated when I see those stories. What is going on in the Pentagon is not waste. It's a much, much deeper issue. And so I asked our blogmaster to put up a link to our missing money page. We have documented significant stories of the kind of systemic theft that's going on by and through the Pentagon and I think a lot of this is black budget. You literally have such a divergence between the official reality and reality in the books of the Pentagon. Whatever the Vatican's problems are, they're nothing compared to the Pentagon. And certainly I bet the two are related. CBO study comes up, and there's a commentary. I would really encourage you to go take a look at it. Put forward the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, put forward 103 options to help re-engineer the federal budget, and it'll give you a pretty chilling sense of what might be in our future in 2014 and 2015. I'm not going to try and repeat the whole list here, but check it out, because as I said, I've said for several Solari reports, the deficit figures were much kinder to us this year than expected. Revenues were much higher than expected, and so the deficit squabble didn't really turn mean. That's not going to be the case next year. The revenues won't be there. Many, many stories up on the blog that talk a little bit or really go to the deeper issues that are going to be driving the equity markets, in my opinion. An interesting link on crowdfunding in Southeast Asia. As I said, one of the very important things to understand about the crowdfunding phenomena is it's global, and it's going to be rolling out in continents around the world at the same time. So its impact on building towards an equity model and equity markets is far more important than I think a lot of people, including in the stock exchanges and the traditional financial markets, understand. If you haven't taken a look at our crowdfunding report, I would really encourage you to do it. We have a little crowdfunding section up on the blog on the left, and of course the new crowdfunding regs expected out first quarter 2014. The Chinese reform is very interesting. There are very few populations around the world that really participate in equity. We've watched securitization of companies around the world. Now we're beginning to see the kind of reforms that I believe are going to lead to bringing the retail investor globally into participation in the equity markets. And so I'm very keenly interested in what's happening with the Chinese reform. I think that's part of it. We see companies positioning themselves to get property rights on the moon. This is all part of NASA's privatization effort, where we're now going to see the technology and the territory created in space very clearly marked for private ownership and corporate ownership. NASA's Maven Mars mission is set for launch this week. I couldn't help but notice the the comparison between Obamacare and the trip to Mars. We had 107,000 people sign up for Obamacare through the website, according to the White House. Of course, that doesn't include the state exchanges, which appear to be doing much better. But we had 200,000 people sign up for a one-way trip to Mars. So that's an extraordinary comparison. Financial and commodities markets, there's some very big developments. We had the precious metals market report last week. The transcript will be up by the weekend. And part of what we were talking about centered around a blog post I have up on the blog called "What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals?" In it, I describe the fact that at this point, the primary trend is in doubt. So there's a reason to hold your core position, but not hold investment positions. It may be best to go to the sidelines. Franklin Sanders and I debated that in the discussion, and I really encourage you to listen to both positions. But what Franklin did say is if it breaks the 1186 line and goes 3% through that, stays through that, then, of course, the primary trend is broken, in his opinion. If we look at the technical charts this week, there's lots of indications. Charts look very weak, and that could happen. So for those of you who hold precious metals position, investment positions, I really encourage you to take a look at that blog post and listen to the interview. And you want to pay attention now, because if we break those critical lines, we're going to see a real shift in the market. And, of course, anything can happen. I have no idea what's going to happen, particularly in the short run. Keep an eye on interest rates. We know that we're very likely coming into a turn in the bond market. We've had interest rate falling essentially since 1980, and that is an enormous wind at our back. I said last night on Coast to Coast that essentially if you're 40 or under, you really have no idea what it is like to live in a world where you don't have that wind in your sails. And it's an enormously important wind in sails. It affects every organization and enterprise, government, company, private, public, whether they know it or not. Let's talk about what the potential of rising interest rates could mean. Of course, for those with variable rate mortgages and credit cards, it's a higher cost of capital to individuals and to households. But look across the board. If you look at companies, companies have depended on borrowing cheap money. A big source of S&P earnings has been this year, with the market strong, has been borrowing money and using it to buy back shares. That game could go away if interest rates really spike. Pension funds hold lots of debt, and they've been buying debt at lower rates. We see the 30-year Treasury bond funds down 10% already for the year. So a lot of big investors are going to be sitting in bonds, and it's really not so easy to literally walk out of those positions, although certainly they can hedge. But you're going to see cost of capital go up for businesses. Where you're really going to see cost of capital go up is for governments. Government spending for the last 30 years has depended on lower and lower interest rates. Without that, it means a bigger bite of the budget's going to go to the creditors. And of course, not only can the spending keep rising, but in fact, it's going to have to cut back to make way for the creditors. Finally, I suspect one of the things that's really managed to bring interest rates down is the enormous number of interest rate swaps in the derivatives books. We've never managed through a period where all of those interest rate swaps have to be managed with a world of rising interest rates. Lord only knows how that's going to work. It's going to be very tricky. So a rising interest rate environment is a very different world than the one we've been in. Now, of course, I think that's one of the reasons there's so much pressure to move to an equity model, because you can either crash the debt down or you can crash the equity up. Now, whether or not it is possible to crash the equity up at this point is uncertain. So there are many different ways this could go, but the intensity and the pressure to move to an equity model is going to get stronger and stronger, particularly now that basically most governments have been stripped of their assets. So those assets are now in private hands. Whatever it's going to do, it means the people who are resource rich at this point, having won the financial coup d'etat, are certainly going to be in the relative catbird seat. So it is in and of itself a very significant power shift. So, but keep an eye on that. You know, for many years when there was trouble, everyone could leave the equity and commodity markets and go to fixed income. That's not going to be possible in this kind of environment, is what is expected. Under the category, a really bad idea this week, genetically modified insects. You've got a company trying to get approval in Spain to introduce genetically modified insects that have a DNA which kills females. It's being proposed to control a certain kind of olive pest. The only problem is the larvae live in the olives. So now we're going to have larvae with DNA which kills females. You know, in the olives, we're eating it. Sounds pretty frightening to me. Under a really good idea, Monty Python is reuniting. And if you don't remember Monty Python, it's a British comedian group that will make you laugh and forget your troubles. I strongly recommend it. Check it out. Story up on the blog. Our hero this week, not surprisingly, is John F. Kennedy Jr. I wrote an article sort of commemorating his leadership called Leadership is a Just Do It Thing. And we put a little video of the end of his inaugural address, which is so famous. But I added a quote from John Patrick Shanley about the pain you get when you go from a country that was built and led by giants to a country where there are no great books and no big thinking and everybody's thinking a little. And that's certainly how it feels. At the same time, I don't think that we need to look to Washington or Wall Street or to the government for leadership. I think that what we need more than anything is a belief that we can be excellent, that we can inspire each other to excellence, that we can grab the brass ring, as it will, of what it means to be a great people and proceed without the people who are supposed to be our leaders. They're boxed by the shadow governments. They're boxed by the shadow banking system. They're boxed by all the things that, you know, we've discussed many times here on the Solari Report. And I, for one, hunger for great leadership. And I see it everywhere very quietly around me. And that's one of the reasons we have a hero section every week on the Solari Report, because I want to point those people out to you. And let's go to the movies. We put up the wonderful movie with Kevin Costner, 13 Days. It's a 2000 docudrama about the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. We got much closer to the end of the world, I think, than most people imagine. And it's a remarkable way of viewing and understanding a lot of the tensions between the military and the intelligence communities and the Kennedy brothers that led to their first to John's assassination and then Bobby's. I did not put up, but we've used on the Solari Report before, Oliver Stone's marvelous JFK. If you want to understand the events of the assassination and the cover-up, I can't recommend it highly enough. There is a wonderful speech, again, Kevin Costner, as Jim, playing Jim Garrison in New Orleans, gives his summation speech when he tries to hold some of the co-conspirators responsible. And wonderful speech that I've had up on the blog. It's called How Many Deaths Will We Tolerate? And it talks about, you know, the deaths of so many people in the cover-up and the leadership. And interestingly enough, it just got taken down. So I can't link to it on YouTube. But if you haven't seen JFK or 13 Days, remarkable movies, remarkable acting, remarkable performances, and simply theater and drama in itself, but really take you inside that time and help you understand very much the some of the tensions in the Kennedy administration and the competition between the two models, and then the assassination and why I call it a financial coup d'etat.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions we got from a subscriber is, are you familiar with Mae Brussel? In 1963, she was a housewife with five kids. She had serious questions about the JFK assassination, so she bought the entire Warren Commission report when it came out. She came up with her own index and began cross-listing it with other material. She wound up having a radio show in the 70s and 80s. Most of the shows are on YouTube. She talked quite a bit about what Richard Farrell and others are talking about now. Even back then, she was talking about the Nazis and the government, UFOs, Vatican politics, other assassinations, and so forth. She passed away in 1987. Mae Brussel was the best. She seems to have discovered the breakaway civilization long before anyone else. Her old shows remind me of some of your current ones. Please take a look at her material. That's from Jeffrey. Great reminder. I should... When Farrell and I do our next breakaway civilization discussion, we should absolutely talk about Mae Brussel, and I should really do a show introducing everybody to her work. And you're right, amazing woman, amazing researcher, great contributions. And in the spirit of those who archive, write history, Mae Brussel archived and absolutely wrote history. Some more Ask Catherine questions. I want to first remind you, remember to send your subscriber questions, either post them in the comment section on the blog or send to askcatherine@celeri.com so you can send them by email. A question from a couple weeks ago, if Mr. Global is going to transfer capital substantially from bonds in the stock market, would it not make sense from their point of view to crash the stock market first so they can buy in cheap and diminish everyone else in the process, presumably gaining more control? Yes, that's what 2008 and 2009 was. Would love to get your analysis on what's going on. It's going before Congress today or tomorrow, and Pope Bernanke just gave his blessing. It hit 900 yesterday before dropping back. Wonder if JP Morgan Chase is clamping down on sending money out of the country. Has anything to do with it? Bill Still, Stefan Molyneux, and Corbett have all weighed in yesterday with their take. Of course, they're asking about Bitcoin. I put a commentary up about regulators see value in Bitcoin and investors hasten to agree. I'm on the other side of this. Bitcoin is a fiat currency. You don't get deposit insurance. If your exchange gets taken out or wiped out, you lose 100% of your money. And basically what you're doing is you're prototyping how to do a digital currency for Mr. Global, which is exactly where he wants to go. So to me, this thing is nuts. It's highly speculative if you want to try it, because in fact, you know, Mr. Global wants digital currency, so this is exactly where he wants to go. So if you want to try it and play around with it on the theory that, like Facebook, it's the next big thing, just make sure you only put in that money which you're happy to lose 100% of. They're drawing people in, obviously, with wild speculative pricing, but remember the dream and the hope is that this will somehow be free. That's ridiculous. Whoever controls the cables and the hardware controls. And, you know, so the notion that this is going to be somehow free is, you know, so absurd. I don't even know what to say about it. But there's no doubt about it. This is where Mr. Global wants to go, digital currency. And, you know, and prototyping with Bitcoin or whatever else comes out is a way to get there. One other. So our sometimes friend of the common man, Bill, likely covered up some facts about JFK's death. I assume he's talking about Bill Moyer. He became a president's press secretary. He does his part ensuring the deeper truths about the key metrics players and how they operate is kept blacked out. Foundations support his good work, pointing a finger at injustice such that the deeper truth is not revealed. Public donations likely buy sit time for his weekly program. Does Peter Janney's book touch on it? Not that I remember. I didn't talk to Peter about Moyer's. You know, my feeling about Moyers is I like Moyers very much, and I think he does a lot of good stuff. You're right, he doesn't go where I think we need to go, and if anything, you know, a lot of it ends up being a modified hangout, but I think he does what he thinks he can do. There are a lot of evil people on the planet. He's not one of them. So I've seen him and his work kind of step on me more than a couple of times, because the modified hangout, for example, he did a modified hangout on the missing money, and it was basically taking one of the bad guys and kind of, you know, plopping down the modified hangout, so the interest in the missing money diminished tremendously. Now, of course, that was after 9/11, and it was really 9/11 that put the put the damper on that story. So, yeah, I've seen him do that. But I also think, you know, people can do what they can do. And in a world where there's a real market for what the truth tellers and the May Russells of this world do, then someone like Bill can contribute what he can contribute and not do terrible damage. So, you know, I give Bill sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card to a certain extent. The interview was really a remarkable opportunity for me to talk to author Peter Janney about his wonderful book, Mary's Mosaic. I don't want to give too much of the story away. We talk about it in the interview. I think one of the reasons it's such a remarkably well-written book is that all the different players are people known to Peter and his family, and so there's an intimacy and a humanity to it, which gets it out of the, you know, sort of the genre of bad guys and good guys. You see that things are much more complicated than they seem. The bad guys don't really get to tell their side of the story, and that's one part of the Kennedy assassination I would love to see, because I think there's a case to be made for the risk aversions of Mr. Global, and I think we would all be better off for hearing those stories put forward and that case made in a clear and coherent way, so that at least we could have a much richer understanding of and a much richer discussion of what's really going on. But I think Peter's book is an enormous contribution. It's my favorite book on the Kennedy presidency in that time. And I think one is he does such a great job of integrating and describing the policy issues in the sort of competition between two models in a way that is just very accessible to somebody who's not a Washington insider. The other thing is you see the extraordinary fear of the political elites in Washington when the assassination and the subsequent killings sort of ran through the body politic, and you really see the powerlessness of the rich and famous in the face of this invisible and very lethal force coming through. So it's a remarkable book and helps you understand how we've gotten to where we've gotten in the country and gone from a country of giants to a country of Lilliputians. Anyway, so interview with Peter Janney, I recommend it. If you haven't read Mary's Mosaic, I have a review of it up on the blog, and I can't recommend it to you enough. It's a wonderful book, not just for anybody who wants to understand the Kennedy assassination, but anybody who wants to understand American history and how in the world the breakaway civilization really got going and got the bit in its teeth. Okay, well, that's it for Thursday, November 21st. Coming up next week is Thanksgiving, and so we'll be posting John Rappaport's next piece on Thanksgiving Day. I'll be back. You know, we're coming to the end of the year, so you know we need to do this. CPA Patty Kemmerer is going to be with me to do U.S. tax issues for 2014. You want to address we'll be talking about 2013 tax issues too, because we want to look at these things while there's still time to do something about it. And you'll still have 25 days in December to get your house in order, and then be prepared to think about how you want to grapple with some of the big tax issues for 2014. Then December 12th, I'm delighted Jim Norman is going to come back for an update on the oil card, the energy world has been phenomenally interesting. Many big issues and changes underway, and so it's always good to have Jim back to talk about that. So until next week, Thanksgiving, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.